Hi, this is Greg with your Oklahoma Men's Clinic. If you struggle when you snuggle, don't delay. Call us today, 405-266-3000. That's 266-3000. Or schedule your free phone consultation on the web at OKCmen.com. That's OKCmen.com.
Sports with Mark Rogers is brought to you by Bob Moore Auto Group. For over 50 years, Bob Moore has been delivering Oklahoma's biggest and best automotive selection. 10 brands, 15 dealerships, and over 2,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs. Drive Bob Moore today and experience the exception at BobMoore.com.
So, Mark, did you enjoy the game?
It was hot, man. I did enjoy the game.
I figured you'd be in a suite. You should have been in the AC.
No, sit out in the stands. That's the way to do it. A suite is nice, but you don't get the feel for the game. But the sun was beaten down, for sure.
It sounded like, and I never got a really good feel for this. If they showed it on television, I didn't get a sense of it. It sounded like there was a pretty solid contingent of Nebraska fans that made the trip here.
Absolutely. They were all over the place on Friday. Campus was really busy. And it was a good atmosphere, I thought. As crowded of a game as it's been in a while at Norman. I can't remember, you know, of course there was very few fans in 2020, but going all the way back to 2019, it wasn't as big of an influx as the Ohio State fans, I think, who, you know, kind of got into town on Thursday. But it was a great environment. That's what makes the scheduling great at Oklahoma, is that they know how to create these home-and-home series with great fan bases, and it was a good time.
What is going on with Oklahoma's offense? It seemed to me that...
You don't even have to add offense there. You can just say, what is going on?
Well, but listen, the defense, to me, has played better. I mean, I realized that they gave up enough points that it was a question of whether Oklahoma was going to win the game or not, but the defense, in my opinion, and maybe I'm just grading them on a lesser curve, but the defense has been playing better. The offense just seems to struggle in the second half of football games, and I don't know what it is, but obviously the pollsters seem to agree because Oklahoma dropped in the polls this week even though they won.
I thought it was a little bit of both. I think the offense is, it just doesn't seem like it has much rhythm. You know, Rattler, I think he sometimes has a little difficulty moving around in the pocket. The opening drive of the game, I thought he was great. I mean, he has arm talent. That is clearly there. He can make throws in spots where, you know, guys can catch it and ball can't be picked off. I mean, he's got some talent, but he also does some kind of strange things and way he will retreat and throw off the back foot. And then at times he's got, I don't know, he doesn't have a lot of progression. See what I'm saying? I mean, there's great times where guys are one or two guy routes and things like that. They ran the ball okay, right? I mean, I think sometimes it's that.
No,
I mean, 5.5 yards a carry, and they ran it 35 times and they threw it 34. I think that they needed to run it more than they threw it in that game on Saturday. And then I saw a bunch of bad tackling on defense.
They had almost 200 yards in rushing. And my immediate response would have been, well, maybe the running back situation is more of an issue for the Oklahoma offense than we thought it was. But they had almost 200 yards in rushing, and that was not the problem. I can't pinpoint, and I didn't get to watch all of the game. I had some other stuff going. But I can't pinpoint what it is. But I do know that coming out in the second half, they've got to be a better football team in the second half than they've been.
I just think it's overall. I mean, they didn't get a whole lot of stops on Nebraska, to be honest with you. I mean, one thing that OU did in this game was they possessed the ball a lot, which does help the defense. I mean, I thought it kind of helped the defense in the end because, you know, normally Lincoln Riley's going hurry up on offense and you're running a bunch of plays in the game and, you know, the defense gets tired in the end because they're out there a bunch. But defense wasn't out there for that many plays in the game on Saturday. Only 63 plays for Nebraska, 69 plays for Oklahoma.
Dude, how about that interception?
I know, wasn't it crazy, though, because it was such an athletic play, such a great play.
But it was a horrible play. It was the wrong play to make.
And it cost the team some serious momentum by pinning it back there that deep. Now, I mean, it's easier said than done to say, oh, well, you should have dropped it or batted it down because, you know, how he was trying to cover that receiver. If he tries to tip it and bat it, it goes up in the air, and then it's a touchdown, and then you got a whole different story. But, yeah, it was a spectacular play, but it's one on fourth down where you got to have consciousness to know, okay, look, this is not something that I really, I don't need to go for the interception, but I need to make sure that that guy doesn't catch it.
Do you think that he really was going? I mean, I don't think he thought he could catch that ball. I think he stuck his paw up there, and it stuck in his hand, and he was probably as surprised as we were. It was phenomenal. But, yeah, it would have been way better not to have gotten the ball where they did and have taken it because it was, like you said, on fourth down. Oklahoma State, I mean, it's obviously good to get a win. They go to 3-0. I don't know that I saw Oklahoma State. They played better in the second half. I'm still not sold on Oklahoma State as of yet. They still got to prove it to me. I mean, Boise State is a much better level of competition. But had they not come out and played better in the second half, they wouldn't have won that game. And I, again, kind of like Oklahoma, I don't know exactly where to pinpoint the major source of the bleeding with Oklahoma State. Is it the quarterback?
Well, first of all, it was a surprise that several players had been left in Stillwater. We don't figure out until a couple hours before game that Jaden Bray is not going to play. It was a very weird game because Boise looked like they were going to steamroll OSU in the beginning. They couldn't run the football. Oklahoma State could run the football. And anytime you have a rushing disparity of 246 for Oklahoma State to 61 for Boise is something else. And again, Oklahoma State ran it 57 times and threw it 13. And they were playing with a lot of inexperienced wide receivers. Kale Cabanis, who is Billy Tubbs' grandson, made a big catch for Oklahoma State, who played at Norman North and has walked on up at OSU. And so I think that was he made a big play in that game. But that's crazy that Mike Gundy, we've been on him for being conservative with the offense.
Right.
But as
well,
but
I'm going to tell you something.
You could get, it was a good game plan.
That Warren dude is legit. Hey, that dude is a badass. And he's something. I'd be running the ball a ton, too, I don't know it would be at that disparity, 32 runs versus 13 pass attempts, but I mean that dude. It's surprising to see that guy play as well as he is because I thought, and not that, and now I'm blanking on his name, the Canadian dude that was there last year and they had such a great year the year before. Yeah, Chuba Hubbard. I thought Chuba Hubbard was so great, and then he didn't have a great year last year, and now this guy is just lighting it up, or at least has looked that way in a couple of games so far this year. I didn't remember either until I just now glanced at the box score that all the points in that game scored in the first half. Nobody scored at all in the second half, but Oklahoma State's defense played so much better in the second half, they controlled the game.
Yeah, and again, with Boise unable to run it, it makes it tough when you become so one-dimensional, but I think they were a little leery of Spencer Sanders making mistakes in the passing game, and why not just run the football? I mean, when you're having success and you can do it like they were doing it, then take advantage of it.
So Oklahoma State plays Kansas State this weekend. Oklahoma State favored. We'll obviously talk about these more as we get later into the week. And West Virginia, who looked great, I don't think Virginia Tech's that good, but they look great against Virginia Tech this weekend. Oklahoma plays West Virginia.
That's right. I think the Oklahoma State-Kansas State game should be a great game. Kansas State had a big win over Nevada. They were underdog there, and so I think that game has a lot of potential. Oklahoma should handle West Virginia. It's the perfect setup for West Virginia to stay at home and win a game against Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech traveling for that one, and it's a big rivalry. Team used to play all the time. So
I'm going to
a better situation this week for OU.
I'm going to say something right here, and I may be wrong about this, and I'll explain why. But as of right now, if I had to pick a national champion in college football, I'm picking Georgia. I don't think Alabama is as good. I think that freshman quarterback is causing them to be a little shaky. I realize that you got to go through a playoff, and they've got to play through the SEC, but Alabama does too. And I just, based on what I've seen, I think Georgia's playing the best football in the country by far.
Well, I came home after the game, drank about 6 bottles of water, and had a snow cone, so I could finally cool off a little. And then I did watch Alabama and Florida. And I thought Florida, it's a pretty unique situation with Emory Jones, the quarterback, playing as well as he did. Because it's tough on the Alabama defense when you have to defend a mobile quarterback. And I thought the Florida running backs were really good. So I started to think to myself, okay, well, if Florida can do this to Alabama, possibly who else could? and A&M. That game's coming up on October the 9th.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
They don't really have a mobile quarterback, so I don't know. That seems like it's a lot more in Alabama's wheelhouse just to stand up there and slug it out with A&M. But this team isn't quite as good as what it was last year, obviously.
And I think Nick Saban knows that.
The pros.
Don't you think Saban knows that, and he's trying to motivate them by being a hard-ass? I mean, he's a hard-ass anyway, but I think you can tell, based on the way he's talking about this team, he knows that they're way more vulnerable than they have been.
I just don't know who's going to beat him. I mean, Georgia... Yeah, I think Georgia's got a shot. Again, they don't have a real mobile quarterback either. And Florida gave Alabama fits last year. So we'll see. I'm not ready to say that Alabama's done yet, but they, with a play here or play there, they sure could have lost to Florida on Saturday.
Are you enough of a believer in Oregon to jump them over Oklahoma in the poll?
I mean, it just has to go on form, right? I mean, if you're sitting there voting, they've got to win at Ohio State. Oklahoma has struggled in the two games that were, you know, meaningful for them. I think that they deserve to be there. That'll all shake itself out in the end.
For sure. But, yeah, I'm not saying that it's not right and that it's not okay that it's happening. I don't think it's necessarily to Oklahoma. It doesn't mean their demise. I just think it's interesting. I guess based on that Ohio State win and then that they have continued to, that they've won their other two games as well, that the pollsters believe enough in them to and Oklahoma struggled, so maybe that's it. But I'm always a little surprised when there's not just an overwhelming route, significant win of another prominent team, because Ohio State, quite frankly, I mean, when you come down to it, we'll see what happens as they play through the Big Ten, but strength of schedule may wind up not looking as great for a win over Ohio State because of the way that they've played and look like they're not as good as they've been either.
They got to play Penn State and Michigan, and both of those teams look like that they are they're better this year, quite a bit better. That was cool to see the whiteout at Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to tell you, I mean, listen, you know, the halftime inline game number for the game on Saturday, the halftime line was 7, which Nebraska ends up covering, and it tells you that the oddsmakers watched that, and the adjustment was Oklahoma is not very good.
Yeah,
they're just not.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not, and that's a fact right now. They played two games against very average to below average football teams and struggled to win both. So, I mean, you can say what you want about how hyped this team was. I've seen them play twice in my own eyes, and they're not very good. I mean, they're certainly overranked right now.
Right.
They're at that spot.
Rather than say they're not very good, I would certainly agree with overranked. And maybe they're not very good. We'll find out. But I certainly think they were overranked coming into the season. And part of that is because of Spencer Rattler, and part of the reason they haven't played as well is that Spencer Rattler is not a guy – I don't think he is not a I'm trying to think of the right words to use. I don't want to say he's not an elite quarterback, but I don't think he has the level of consistency still at this point in his career that you need from a quarterback at an elite program to be a threat. I don't think Oklahoma is as scary. I don't think Alabama is as scary. Frankly, I think that it's kind of wide open as of right now. Georgia looks really good, but they got to play through the SEC. And I think that we very well may have a national championship team with a loss this year.
Well, it's possible. I mean, you got to add Clemson to that mix because, you know, they had a really lethargic game against Georgia Tech.
Clemson's ranked lower than they've been in almost 10 years. It was 2013 or 2014 that they've been ranked this low.
That's right. So you're right about it should be a fun year, but don't count Alabama out yet.
So what was the biggest surprise to you from the NFL? I'll give you mine. And it wasn't a big surprise. It was just seeing it happen. I'm not stunned that it happened, but after Jameis Winston's week one performance, to see what he did in week two was, it's very Jameis Winston, but it's hard to go from what he did in week one and play as poorly as he did in week two.
Man, quarterback injuries. There were quite a few. Justin Fields got in the game. Tua got hurt for Miami, and we know that, you know, he seems like he's very injury prone. But the Bills shutting out the Dolphins 35-0, that was a little bit of a surprise to me. And just, man, that I was watching the ticket yesterday afternoon, and what great finishes. I mean, you got the Cowboys kicking a field goal to win the game. You got the Vikings missing a field goal to win the game, both going on at exactly the same time that the Seattle-Tennessee games goes to overtime, and those late afternoon kicks yesterday and the nightcap with the Chiefs and the Ravens.
That was did you see the interview with Jackson after the game with Michelle Tafoya?
No.
He called her Ms. Michelle, Miss Michelle, which was just beautiful. I mean, I really like that guy. And he was very humble, and he was like, you know, he said all the right things, and then she said, all right, thanks, and he said, thank you, Ms. Michelle. And it was kind of sweet.
Full of Trey Young. Yeah. That was cool.
Okay, so a couple of things. First off, your guy from ESPN who was going to shave his eyebrows, I can't remember, do you have the Niners or do you have the Eagles?
Bart Scott had the Niners.
Oh, so he gets to keep his eyebrows. Okay, because I was trying to remember.
I don't know that bet was made, but, I mean, yeah. That game was close, but the 49ers stymied the Eagles on offense, that's for sure.
Let me tell you why I think that the Urban Meyer hire was genius in Jacksonville. And I don't know that. Okay. I haven't looked at the exact numbers. But Urban Meyer is going to get way more rope at Jacksonville than anybody else would. And they're horrible. Now, I realize you go back and you look at the Dallas Cowboys when they first got Troy Aikman and Jimmy Johnson came in and they had that 1-15 year or whatever it was. But Jacksonville is in that exact same spot. I don't know that the upside is going to be what it was with the Cowboys, but they're terrible. And you needed an Urban Meyer that the fan base is going to give some leniency to. Otherwise, they're going to be screaming for the coach's head already because they're not competitive at all.
They're bad. I think the Lions are bad. Your guy, Mike McCarthy, almost blew it yesterday. Holy cow.
I'm telling you. What a horrible...
What was he doing?
Hey, speaking of... Which game was it that I was watching? It was the Oklahoma-Nebraska game when Nebraska was kicking that extra point, and I'm thinking, why are they kicking an extra point? Why wouldn't you go for two to make it a field goal game, and they attempt that extra point, and it gets run back for a two-point conversion?
Well, I'm with you. There was actually a call on the post-game show where a guy brought that up, and normally, and it goes back to what we talked about here just a minute ago, there were very few possessions in that game. And Nebraska was, you know, they were kind of grinding it out. But Oklahoma was having success too, you know, keeping the ball away from Nebraska. And so I think and it's in the third quarter, that late in the third quarter, I think you try to get within a field goal. And it really could have changed the dynamic of the game based on how Nebraska, you know, had to play. So I think that was definitely in hindsight for sure is an error. But I think it was a tactical error at the time.
The reason that I bring that up is McCarthy's game planning at the end of that Dallas game was horrible.
It was bad.
They wound up winning the game, but it was in spite of him and not because of him. I've always said that McCarthy has won less with more talent than any other coach in my memory in the NFL. I don't know how you be a coach in the NFL for the amount of time that he has, as high profile as he's been, and not been able to strategize the end of the game and your time management better than he did.
I think just to want to settle for a 56-yard field goal was kind of questionable too. But then just to let the clock run down. I guess he felt like he's playing with a mulligan because they weren't behind. But anyway, he got fortunate. He was very fortunate.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious to see tonight what Green Bay looks like.
They look good tonight.
They were garbage last week, but they're playing the Lions tonight, so this ought to be they ought to be able to prove themselves tonight. But, you know, I still think the Lions are bad, but as bad as you are in the NFL, with very few exceptions, you're still competitive. And Green Bay's going to have to play a lot better than they played in week one against the Lions tonight to have an impressive win.
I think the Lions are terrible, so I think that the Packers win and win pretty comfortably.
Who are you picking if the Lions and the Jaguars play? Who's your pick?
I don't know, man. I think that it's Jacksonville. That's tough. I would probably say that it's a tie. The game goes into overtime and nobody wins.
A 0-0 tie.
Yeah, I might have changed my mind on this after 2 weeks in the season, but I would say the Lions are probably better.
I would say the Lions got a better quarterback. They have a more seasoned quarterback, so I'd give them the edge, but just slightly. I mean, it might depend on where they're playing, although if the team is bad enough, that might not make that much of a difference.
The season win total on Jacksonville, 6.5.
Oh, well, I mean, I bet the under on that, based on what I've seen.
I don't think they're going to win 7 games.
No,
I mean,
not even close.
Pretty tough.
All right, man. Have a great week. We'll talk about the next week's games on Friday.
Okay, sounds good.
Thanks, Mark.
Rick and Brad on Rock 100.5, The Cat.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian, and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.